medical errors killing more people, taking care of rural kids, maker nurses rocking patient care, and we'll take more looks at the nurses of the American Nurse Informatics Association and their take on technology and patient care. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show, our podcast for nurses by nurses. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for checking out our program this week. We've got a great show for you. First up in this week's nursing news items, we're going to be looking at an alarming report we should all be looking at on the third leading cause of death in the U.S., medical errors. I kid you not, we are killing our own patients. More on that later. Then in this week's special interview segments from the American Nurse Informatics Association conference back in April, I have a few more of these great interviews I did with nurses, technology, and patient care issues. What can we all be doing to be better prepared for new technologies in our units and our facilities? These nurses might inspire you to find out. We'll have that and more later on in this episode after the news. Before we get to the news, though, I do want to make sure that you all are following up on the information you get from this and every episode, and you can do that by heading over to nursingshow.com. Once you get there, check out the links in each episode's show notes. There are also other articles and links to other things, like our free Nursing Show mobile app for your mobile devices, student nurse tips, and articles on a whole bunch of different things. But I want you to make sure you follow up on what I talk about in the show each week so you understand how it is applied or not to your own nursing scope of practice. If you want to get back in touch with me, you can always do that. Please drop me an email. You can send those emails in to me here to nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, and I make sure I respond back to every email that comes in. So you can send me anything you want, links to news items. Maybe you have an idea for a future episode topic or an interview that you'd like me to do with someone. Whatever the case may be, please keep those emails coming. Also, I'll be attending the upcoming AACN Critical Care Nursing Conference in New Orleans in just a few weeks. A special thank you to Physiocontrol for being my overall NTI sponsor, Nezi by Blickman for being my mobility and travel sponsor, and Advanced Ultraviolet Systems for being my infection prevention and control sponsors at NTI in New Orleans. You want to check out the links I'll have to them in the show notes for this episode and follow up and thank them for helping me get to this conference. That's it. Let's go ahead and get on into this week's news items. They are coming right up. So here's an alarming quote for you. It caught my eye. People don't just die from heart attacks and bacteria. They die from system-wide failings and poorly coordinated care. That is the damning statement of fact from the author of a new study on medical errors nationwide. It comes from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Medical errors have now been found to cause more than 250,000 deaths each year, and that means that we are failing our patients each and every single day. Now, that number accounts for about 1 in 10 of all people who die each year, and moves it up to the number 3 cause of death in the United States. Part of the problem is that patient safety initiatives are adopted in a hit-or-miss fashion, and there's no real study of how medical errors actually occur or what to do about them when they do occur. This report blasts previous estimates by the Institute of Medicine report nearly 20 years ago that proposed that the death rate for medical error was about 100,000 people. This is 2.5 times greater than that. Now, guess what else the researchers say about their estimate of 250,000 deaths a year? They say that they were very conservative in their estimates, and that some other research suggests the number might be as high as 400,000 people dying from medical errors. The call is out from this study that mandatory reporting is needed from all facilities and healthcare units anywhere. Currently, hospital executives don't really know the numbers that they have in their facilities for medical error-related deaths, but they should. So what can we do in the meantime while the powers that be argue over what should be reported or what not reported? Each and every one of us needs to be vigilant about our infection control, our hand-washing protocols, and other preventable sources of errors under our control. Take the initiative. Print out this article, tack it up on the wall in your break room. Talk about it, email it to your leadership, ask them what is being done to address this new finding. Nurses can and should lead the charge on getting these mortality numbers down. And it starts with each of us. It starts with you. Next up in the news for nurses this week on The Nursing Show, let's take a look at some of the unique challenges that are faced by certain patients in rural settings. The article I found is over at healthday.com, and it discovered that there were significant differences in the healthcare choices and oversight for children in rural settings when compared to their city cousins. The study came from a researcher at the Yale University School of Medicine, and it calls for innovating the healthcare of rural pediatric patients, especially those with chronic conditions that need frequent follow-ups. You know, it makes sense when you think about it a little bit. Just think. Rural families tend to be poorer than urban or suburban families. They often have to travel hours to see even routine healthcare providers, let alone getting some sort of specialist appointment. According to this researcher, these factors and others combine to cause these kids to have increased likelihood for all kinds of problems, like being readmitted after discharge and developing complications following hospitalizations. The author of the research, Dr. Alon Pels, says that new integrations of technologies like telemedicine resources, coordination between pediatric specialty centers and local medical centers are all things that can be used to start improving outcomes for these at-risk kids. There are also things that the families of children with these special needs can do to better prepare for their upcoming hospital stay. And I urge you to read the article for yourselves, especially if you are either in a rural setting as a nurse or perhaps in a pediatric specialty hospital that serves rural patients. I want you to use it to help you better communicate with your families from these areas. Help them prepare and understand their care instructions so they avoid some of the pitfalls that this article talks about in the study. Finally, in this week's News for Nurses, I have a look at the maker nurses out there. Now, what's a maker nurse, you ask? Well, these are nurses who find a way to create something to make patient care for a given patient or patients better, thereby helping all patients with similar problems get better patient care and have better outcomes. I found this article over at Medscape.com, and I have to tell you, I always find great articles there, and this is no exception. Incidentally, while you might need a password to access this article, it's absolutely free. They just require your email address to sign up and let them know that you're a nurse and you're going to be looking at the article for clinical purposes. In this article, a labor and delivery nurse came up with a unique solution for patients who wanted a shower while they had an IV line in place. Deborah Flynn came up with a clear plastic sleeve that seals around the arm above an IV site and allows water to flow over the site without making it wet during the shower. Now, the idea has become a solution for all sorts of things in that hospital that might soil an IV site. And the best part is it goes on in seconds and can be applied even by the patient or a family member, saving the nurse time and energy from their already busy work schedule. Maker nurse studios and facilities are springing up around the country and harness the problem-solving abilities of every nurse and other hospital staff members to come up with some unique solutions for their patient care problems. The studios have various materials. They have things like design computers and 3D printers so that the nurses can create exactly what they need from scratch or adapt a design created by another nurse, either locally or in another maker studio around the country. Nurses are always coming up with interesting solutions for their patients or workarounds that solve a problem caused by some other device or technology. While most of these things are only going to be used for a single patient and may never be adopted unit-wide, hospital-wide, or go nationwide, they are still useful and helpful in the care of that single patient, and that makes them valuable. Check out the article for yourself and look at the other maker studios and maker nurse programs that are out there. I think you'll be surprised at what ideas you might come up with, too. You know, I talked with so many amazing nurses at the ANEA conference in San Francisco last month. There were nurses there presenting their master's program and doctoral program poster research to talk to. There were amazing vendors who came by to chat on camera about their innovative technology products for patient care. And there were some incredible leaders and speakers who did speak at the conference too. All of them came by the media area to chat with me, and there are a few of those conference attendees and speakers who talked to me. Check them out. Hi, Jamie Davis from The Nursing Show here at ANEA 2016 in San Francisco. We're talking to a bunch of the attendees about things. I have Jerry Franklin here, another one of our nurse attendees, talking about everything informatics and healthcare IT. And there's a lot of things we're going to be talking about with Jerry, but one of the things I want to do first is, Jerry, tell us a little bit about your journey as a nurse. Why did you want to become a nurse?
Well, so I actually didn't. I actually wanted to become a doctor, but I'm from a poor family. I didn't have the funds, and I got a scholarship to a two-year nursing program. So I graduated from the two-year nursing program thinking I would then go on, and I just fell in love with nursing. And I stayed with nursing because I loved it so much, and ended up been a nurse for 36 years. I'm very old. I dyed the gray.
Can't tell. It's all good.
But I loved it that much.
Yeah, and so what drew you to the technology side of nursing and healthcare?
So technology happened for me. I was actually on a management track about 8-9 years ago, and they chose the unit that I was manager of to pilot the first med reconciliation that the hospital I was working at the time was going to do. And so I felt it was really important as the leader in that department to learn the program myself and to educate my staff and to work with them as a super user so that when we did go live that we would be successful and that they would have somebody that they could lean on. And we were very successful, 100% compliance for 3 months. And so when they decided to take it house-wide, they had just opened up a nursing informatics department, and they asked me to help educate the entire facility, all the units. And from there, when they brought in the EMR, they asked me to join their team. Big decision, but I ended up changing my path from management to informatics, and I have loved it. I've been doing it for 8.5, almost 9 years, and I absolutely love it. It was a great choice for me.
So I've been talking about a lot of different topics here, among them usability, and you and I were talking before we started recording about that usability is important because we need that re-education, that refresher training. And nurses do this all the time, but it's usually focused on the patient care, on new research about best practices in the medical care, the actual physical health care of the patient. But that needs to be technology focused as well.
It does, because as new best practices come to the forefront, it actually has to be incorporated into the documentation. And with that, it really requires the nurse to get that re-education when workflow changes and we have to change things. And a lot of times when you first initially educate them, whether they're a new orientee or you're implementing a new system, they don't retain 100% of what you teach. You know, and so putting them out there, letting them become familiar with the program, and then having that opportunity to bring them back in and rework through the workflow or reevaluate the workflow and help them to prevent those workarounds, I just think it's so important. And it's a hard thing to do because you have to really pull them off of their unit, out of that environment, so that they can sit back and really reabsorb the right way to do things. So it's a challenge, but I do think it's really important. So reaching out and educating to informatics, changes in workflow, new best practices that come out, patient safety issues, it's just very, very important.
Yeah, there's so much that's expanded in our general scope of practice as a bedside nurse or even in a specialized situation, and so much technology just keeps getting added. As new things come along, it seems like it's just snowballing.
It's a quick snowball, and in fact, part of this education can be incorporated into mandatory competencies annually that can really benefit the end user, the clinical end user at the bedside, because it's a challenge. You want them to take care of the patient, but you also want them to accurately document so that, what goes in is what comes out. Old saying, but it's very, very true. And so all the reports, the measurable reports that have to go out, and the quality measures, and the QRI, and all of that, it's really relevant to be able to pull good data that you can use to make decisions, to report, to all of that. So I just feel that re-education is so important. But it goes back to the usability, and it goes back to, and being able to reevaluate the workflow and improve workflow as an informaticist to fix the issues, to improve that workflow for the end user. So that's all.
So
So you're here at the conference. Last question. Why is it so important for nurses to come and become actively involved in their professional organizations, whether they're in critical care, in informatics, whatever the case may be, and attend their specialty conference like the ENEA conference?
So several reasons, but one is the biggest is to stay up on top of current things that are happening. Sometimes you get so lost in your organization and what you're doing and your daily work that, you know, it just helps you to keep up, keep networking, connections. You know, it that networking is so important because then you can walk away and you know, wow, I met somebody who's using the same system and has the same challenges. And then again, just to keep yourself updated on all the new technology, the new EMRs, the new interfaces. I'm here, I'm smart pump interfacing. Looking forward to that, so yeah.
Well, Jerry, thanks so much for coming on The Nursing
thank
Show.
You.
And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here. We're at ENEA 2016 in San Francisco. And I want to urge you all to check out all of the videos. They're going to be over at ANIA.org and also coming out subsequently over at nursingshow.com in our regular show feed. So check out all of the interviews that we're going to be shooting here. It's going to be a bunch of them, and you can really become more aware of what's going on in your healthcare technology and the things that you use every day to take care of your patients. Hi, Jamie Davis here from The Nursing Show here at the ENEA 2016 conference in San Francisco. I have Mona Lavallier here to talk with me about her experience here attending the conference. And first, before we get into that, Mona, tell us a little bit about why you wanted to become a nurse. What was that thing that said, I'm a nurse?
Well, I always wanted to help people, and I also really, really wanted to be a teacher. So I figured nursing, you help and you teach all your patients.
That's actually the perfect thing, right? Mm-hmm. The helping and teaching, you're a nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So how did you get into nursing informatics?
Well, the VA, I work for the VA, okay. And they've had the electronic chart for a long time. Yep. And so I was exposed to it back in the 80s. And I've always liked computers, so I figured, well, there was a position that came up about 8 years ago, so I decided I'd apply for it and showed that I can make a PowerPoint and add music and videos to it about 8 years ago, and they're like, you got the job. No, that was other things too, but yeah. So I've always liked working with the computer, writing programs. And
oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what's the biggest issue that you think people in nursing informatics are facing right now in their profession?
Well, you have to collaborate with non-health professionals, the IT department, and sometimes that can be challenging. So that's the biggest hurdle I need to achieve, just to try to work with them and make them understand what the nurse needs to do at point of care. And so that's one of my big goals. Yeah.
You know, I talked to Keith Boone, who was the keynote speaker from this morning, and one of the things he told me was that it was important for nurses to be involved with informatics because the IT people needed to hear their stories mm-hmm. of patient care and how they did patient care and tell that story. Why is the nurse informaticist so important for relaying that story on to IT?
Oh, good. Because we have the experience. We have that clinical experience, the bedside experience. I myself have a lot of acute care. I worked in intensive care unit for 10 years and then same day surgery for 10 years. So I have a lot of good experience behind me to add and to express what's important to take care of the patients. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Mona, thanks for chatting with me. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here at ENEA 2016 in San Francisco. I'm Jamie Davis from The Nursing Show. Remember, find other segments at ENEA.org and over at nursingshow.com. That's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week. Make sure you follow up, though, on all of the information you picked up in this episode. Head over to nursingshow.com and check out the episode show notes. There's a link right there at the top of the page. In there are listings for all of the episodes of The Nursing Show. From the most recent one at the top, you can scroll down and go all the way back to the very first episode. But I want you to get the full information there with links to other resources so that you understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. If you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email. You can send that in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So send me your comments, your questions, suggestions, news links. Help support the Nursing Show community with your input. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter. There's a link and form right on the right-hand side of the Nursing Show site, so fill out that short form, and we'll send you the links to each episode's show notes directly to your email inbox each week. You can also connect with me on social media sites. I'm available there under the handle PodMedic, so you can find me there under twitter.com/PodMedic and facebook.com/PodMedic, so friend or follow me. You can also become a member of the community over on Facebook by liking the Nursing Show Facebook page at facebook.com/nursingshow. Click the like button there and join the conversation on that page. I post other nursing and healthcare articles and pictures on the Nursing Show site throughout the course of each week and over at the Nursing Show page, so check it all out. That's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back with more episodes here of The Nursing Show. Remember, it comes out every Friday for you, so you can wrap up your nursing week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show.